You can be seated. We're going to go ahead and jump right on into Bible study tonight. And Brother Duran asked me, he said, you got an opening scripture? And I told him, no, I'm just going to just jump right on into it. So got a simple thought tonight, and it's God is doing a new thing. If you listen to any DC talk back in the 90s, the early 90s, they had a song called God is Doing a New Thing, and I'm just telling on how old I am now, but there was a man who was rushing to a suburban transit station one morning, and almost breathlessly he asked the ticket agent, what time does the 801 train leave? At 801, the ticket agent said. Well, the man replied, is it 7:59? It's 7:59 by my watch. It's 7:57 by the town clock, and 8:04 by the station clock. Which time am I to go by? She said, you can go by any clock you wish, but you can't go by the 8:01 train because it's already left. Unfortunately, there are many who think that they can live by any schedule they choose, and that in their own time they can turn to God. But his time is the right time. Luke 19:44 says, Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they didn't recognize the time of their visitation. Numbers 14:40, there's a group of Israelites who tried to possess the land of Canaan the day after God told them the opportunity had passed, and they were ultimately defeated. 1 Chronicles 12 tells of the sons of Issachar, and they understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. And Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. One of our greatest disasters of history took place in 1271. Niccolo and Matteo Polo, the father and the uncle of Marco Polo, were visiting the Kublai Khan, at that time a world ruler over China, India, and the Far East. He was convicted by the story of Christianity as Nicola and Matteo told it to him, and he said, send me 100 skilled men in your religion, and I shall be baptized. And when I am baptized, all of my barons and great men will be baptized, and their subjects will receive baptism also. So there will be more Christians here than there are in your part of the world. However, nothing was done for about 30 years, and two or three missionaries were sent. Too few, Brother Brown, too late. It baffles the imagination to think what a difference to the world it would have made if China had become full Christians in the 13th century and the Far East had been given to Christ. These men have went down in history as missing an incredible opportunity, and God's purpose was frustrated. Let's just be real honest. If we continue to entertain the things that are not meant for us, the longer we postpone the things that God has prepared for us. We have to know what time we are living in. And I've come to tell you tonight, and pastor's been preaching and teaching that on restoration, and he's talked about going forth and knowing what season you're in. We are in a season of God doing a new thing. We've talked about new blessings and new anointings, but we have to know the time that we are in. Isaiah 43:19, and this is going to be my focus verse tonight. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you take that scripture, he says, I will make a way in the wilderness. A wilderness is a vast place of hopelessness. But yet in the wilderness, God is going to make a way when there seems to be no way. And rivers in the desert. Basically, that God's telling you, whatever you need, I'm going to make need of it. But you have to be on time. You have to know what season that you're in, Brother Brown, if you're going to partake of God's blessings and favor. Amen? If you'll notice the word spring forth, when God moves, he often seems to wait until the last moment, but then he does a quick work and things shift quickly. Pastor talked a couple of weeks ago about, and I'm going to say what he said, will, bam, God. And so you have to understand that when God begins to do a new work, Brother Brown, it's like that. How many times are we told, you know, quickly, as a thief in the night, he's coming? It's that way even now. That's how God operates. Romans 9 and 28 says, "For he will finish the work and cut it in short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Luke 18 says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily," or quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he shall he find faith on earth. Sometimes God takes us right down to the wire, but your shift may be closer than you think. Do you know that God is doing a new thing? Say amen. Amen. We must never give up on God, because God is right on time. He's always on time. He's not a second late. He's not a minute early. But whenever he shows up, he's right on time. Isaiah 43 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." He asked a question. Shall you not know it? Brother Dempsey, any time God does a work, we're going to know it. Because whatever he does is usually outside of our realm of possibility. Because he doesn't work in the possible, Brother Brown, but God works in the impossible. He works in the impossible situation. When the doctors say that there's no hope and the lawyers say there's no mediation, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. God is getting ready to do a new thing. The question is, are we ready to receive it? I said, are we ready to receive it? Are we ready to receive miracles, signs, and wonders? Are we ready to see the lost coming to our doors? I'm talking about in mass fluxes. Are we ready? Do we have structure set up? Do we have the mindset that says, you know what? I can't go to work today because pastor might need me to teach a home Bible study. Or I may have to go down to the jail and witness to somebody. Because there's coming a day and God's going to do an expedient work where he draws all men to him. And we have to be about the Father's business. There are two major Greek words translated new in the New Testament. Neos means recent, newly arrived, just appearing, youthful, rejuvenated. It's new in the sense of time, numerically new, but not different. He's done this before. He can do it again. It's new this time. And then there's kainos, which means better, superior, fresh, different, not previously experienced or encountered. New in the sense of quality, numerically and fundamentally new. In short, horse and buggy versus Escalade. Morse code versus the newest iPhone or Samsung. Pen and paper versus iPad. You could say that Neos is more of the same and Kainos is radically different. I've come to tell you that we're in a year of radically different. We have seen him bless. We've seen him move. But this year is something new. God is doing a new thing. But one is far, far superior. Mark 1 and 27 says, "And they were all amazed, and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. When Christ came, listen, he didn't come and break the law, but he came to do what the law could not do, and that is restore right relationship, not only with God, but with our fellow man. And so he says, I'm giving you something new. Mark 16 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. We talk in tongues, but when Jesus came, he brought the promise of the Father, and we spoke in new tongues. Matthew 26 and 28 says, for this is my body of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. We had an old covenant, and it wasn't perfect. It was the enforcer of the law, but now we have a new covenant, Brother Brown, which is full of grace and truth, and it's so much better. If you don't believe me, go read all of the book of Hebrews. It tells you just how much better our new covenant is than the law. Revelations 3 and 12 says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Father. And I will write upon him my new name. Let me tell you, anything that God does is way far superior than anything that we could ever imagine or concoct in our minds. So I'm come to tell you tonight that whatever you have need of, let me tell you, if you'll just put it in the hands of God and let him make it like new, it'll be far superior than anything that you can construct. 2 Corinthians 2:3-6. I got a bunch of scripture tonight. Also, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Come to tell you that if your testimony is all about tearing down and belittling somebody else, you need to find a new testimony. Because that's not the Spirit of God. He said that our New Testament will be full of the Spirit which gives life. Ephesians 4 and 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me tell you, the greatest miracle that anybody could ever receive is not restoration, but it's the infilling of the Holy Ghost, because you've put on a new man. He's far superior. You may struggle with some things, but when you have the Holy Ghost, that is the ability to overcome the things that you are not able to overcome on your own. Now, don't get it mixed up. The Holy Ghost is not a band-aid, it's not a cure-all, it's not a fix-all, because there's some things that Paul says we have to mortify in ourselves. But those things that we can't overcome, he has given us the ability through the Holy Ghost to become more than conquerors. 2 Peter 3 and 13 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And Revelation says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And flipping over to chapter 21 says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true. And I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, for these words are true and faithful. Let me tell you, he might have continued to do miracles, but he's going to do a new thing in 2025 at POPC. A service with 200 people. Well, guess what? It's not out of the realm of possibility with God. In the Old Testament, the equivalent Hebrew word for Kainos is Kadash, meaning a fresh, new thing. Jeremiah 31 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea, of Judah." Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, this is one of my favorite verses out of the whole Bible, says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." So it doesn't matter if you failed yesterday, Brother Banks, as long as you can wake up in the morning, there's a whole new fresh batch of grace and mercy waiting for you. Because great is thy faithfulness. Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, "And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Kadesh is used several times to refer to our worship. But why? Because fresh worship always accompanies a fresh move of God's Spirit. I'm going to say that again, because fresh worship always accompanies a fresh move of God's Spirit. Let me tell you, God's Spirit doesn't move on last Sunday's worship. It doesn't move because of what we did last year. That's why it's so adamant when we come here on Sunday morning that we have a new song of praise. That's why we lift up new hands in the sanctuary. That's why worship is so important, because it's our worship that literally has God's attention. He doesn't need it, but he desires it. That's why we were made with a free will, because he has a host of angelic beings that can worship him, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But there is something when a creature that was made just a little lower than the angels will surrender themselves, and they'll lift their hands and they say, "Father, I worship you. Lord, I exalt you. I extol you." There's something about a worship service that moves God's heart, and his ear is attentive, and he says, "Okay, I hear your cries. What do you need? I can do that." Psalms 33 and 3, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice." Psalms 40 and 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, fear, and trust in the Lord." Psalms 96 and 1, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." 98 and 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Psalms 144, "I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints." Let me tell you, the worship service is not for our worship team just to come up here and give us an encore performance every Sunday. They don't come up here and give of their time, talent, and ability just to entertain us. But what they are doing, they are setting the atmosphere for us to come in here as a congregation and be united in worship and say, "You know what? Lord, I lift your name on high. I've come to exalt you." Because here's the truth of the matter. Brother Brown, if he never answers another prayer, if he never touches me ever again, he is worthy for all of eternity of my praise and my glory unto him. Revelation 5 and 9, "And they sung a new song, saying." Now that's crazy. We went from Psalms and they're singing a new song, and now we're to the back of the book when time is no more, and they're still singing a new song. "Saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." God is ready to do a new thing, but are we ready to receive it? Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Ye shall not know it. Even I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let me tell you this. If we will come in here every Sunday and we'll break forth in a new song and a new worship, God will break forth on us. It's as simple as that. It's a principle in the Word of God. If praises go up, His glory has to come down. From time to time, lobsters have to leave their shells in order to grow. If they did not abandon it, the old shell would soon become their prison and finally their casket. The scary, vulnerable part is the transition period. For a while, that old shell must look pretty good. We all like the new shell in theory. We just don't like the process of getting there. Let me tell you, the darkest part of the night is just before the dawning of the sun. Let me tell you, when I worked the midnight shift at the prison, I could stay up all night. But as soon as that sun began to peek over the horizon, Brother Brown, there was something in my mind that said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I just need to just go on back to my post, lock the door, turn the lights out, and just lay my head down. How many times are we like that in the middle of a battle? We have fought tooth and nail, and just right before we get the victory, we always just give up. Why is that? Because that's life. And that's a misplace in our trust because I guess God's not answering. I guess I'm on my own. Am I the only one that's ever done that? You know, if God's not going to move, I'll just move all by myself. Most of the time, we give up too easily. We let go too soon because that's how God operates. It's in a quick environment that God moves. It's a speedy work. Because here's the thing. God can do more in a second than we can do in 5 or 10 months. Amen? Luke 5:36-39 says, and he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new kainos garment upon an old, if otherwise. Then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. He's saying you don't take an old piece of cloth and sew it into a new garment. I don't know. They do that now and they call it fashion. I don't understand it. And no man putteth in a new wine into old bottles, or else the new wine will bust the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. That, let me tell you, that's why until you have repented of your sins, you can't receive the Holy Ghost. Because God's not going to put His Spirit in a vessel that's unclean. How many of you, and I was going to use an illustration. Listen, we do children's ministry a lot, and illustrations really stick with people. Brother Wilson, if I brung you a cup that had mud caked on the inside and a bottle of your favorite drink, and I told you to pour it in there and drink it, you probably wouldn't drink out of that dirty cup, would you? But we expect God to do the same thing? It's not so. Jesus did not come to simply patch up your old worn life, but He come to provide a new. And so, listen, He come to give us life and life more abundantly, superior. Cast off, we have to cast off our old way of thinking. Well, it's just going to be another Sunday. Sister Knowles and that praise team's going to get up there and they're going to belt a couple of songs out. Pastor's going to get up there and kick the ball around, and I don't know, I guess we'll go down to whatever restaurant, and then I'm going to go home and take me a nap. Well, what if God had other plans? What if He wanted to see, I don't know, blinded eyes open? How long would we stay? Or what if there was a new heart in here that needed to be grown, spiritual or physical? How long would we stay? How many people don't receive the Holy Ghost because we don't want to be inconvenienced on Sunday? Man, it took me 40 forevers to get the Holy Ghost. Luckily, I had people there that cared about me and that would tarry with me, Brother Brown. And guess what? It's so crazy because I got the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night right after midweek Bible study. On a plain old Wednesday night, God filled somebody with the Holy Ghost. Whoa, that's crazy. Listen, we think only God can work in evangelistic services. God can do whatever He wants. Amen? Isaiah 61, verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Isaiah 61 and 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. The wine of the Holy Ghost cannot be improved upon. If you're looking for something new in the sense of salvation, it's not going to happen. The Holy Ghost is the new, but it's not different. Listen, the Holy Ghost has always been the same. The Old Testament, when talking with people of other denominations, they would say, well, you know, David had the Holy Ghost. No, David had the Holy Ghost upon him. Samson had the Holy Ghost move upon him. The prophets in the of the Old Testament, they just had the Holy Ghost upon them. But we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. It's the same Holy Ghost, but it's a new application of that same Spirit. We have the same experience that the apostles had. They told him, you can go find it in the New Testament. He said, if any man or angel preach any other gospel than what we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. And it was so important that they followed it up and said it a second time, if any man or angel. So let me tell you, if you have a revelation of an angelic being, or you say that Jesus come and brought you a new revelation of salvation, let me tell you, that don't line up with the book. It's false doctrine too. But if you put this powerful wine into an old wineskin, it will bust because it's too dry to stretch as the wine matures. New wine must be put into fresh, radically different wineskins. That's what salvation does for us. But that's also what needs to happen when God wants to do a new thing in His church. We need to have our wineskins renewed. We can experience revival. We can experience renewal. We can even experience restoration. But when God brings us back to something, but only when God brings us back to something we've had before, and that's wonderful. But God is about to do a new thing. And listen, restoration is necessary, revival is necessary, renewal is necessary. But in order to obtain all that God has for us, we're going to have to lift the limitations, not only off of God, but off of our mind, in the fact that, well, only God can work this way. Well, there can only be a move of God in this manner. Let me tell you, there's nothing written in stone that says that the service has to be an hour and a half. It has to be three songs. Somebody get up here. The pastor comes. We give an altar. Listen, what if we just give the altar call at the first part of the service and just let God have His way? Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, because the Bible says we have to do things in decency and in order. As long as it's in decent and order, lift the limitations, lift the expectation that, well, this is how it always goes, this is how it's always going to happen. That's not true. If you'll stand. Isaiah 43:19. I'm going to say it one more time. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a new way in the desert and rivers. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that we can never do in 2025 is know this, or to do this, to lift whatever our expectations are of God. Just take the lid off of God. Listen, God was in a box before in the Old Testament, and that didn't work out too good. So why don't we try to put him in a box now? Let me tell you, God is so much bigger than anything that we can. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. And he's talking about right now. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. This tonight, as I close, just lift your hands and say, God, whatever you have for me, whatever you have for my family this year, God, whatever you have for this church, God, I freely receive, God, as you freely give. Father, we come to you tonight, God. We ask, Lord, that you would lift the expectations off of our mind, God. Lord, we ask you to take complete control, God, whatever you have, God, if it's restoration, if it's a new thing, God, we ask, Lord, that you would just give it to us in abundance, God. We ask you to do all these things according to your will, God, and for your purpose. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, can everybody give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen.
Brother Harper. And everybody said, praise the Lord. That passage that he referenced in Isaiah is actually a prophetic statement from God about, you know, when Israel became a nation in 46, 47, somewhere around there. Do you know why they got sovereign land? Nobody wanted it. It was a desert. And the United Nations said, well, y'all want that piece of dust, y'all can have it. But what they didn't know is God had thousands of years before prophesied that I'll make the desert an oasis, and I will make it blossom like a rose. Now everybody wants their land. But God knew what he was doing. It was a setup. But that's a beautiful passage of scripture. And God did do a new thing for Israel, because that had never, nobody wanted that. It had never been done. You couldn't have sold that land to anybody. It's just out there in the middle. But God knows what he's doing. And that's the principle there is the same with your life. You can't look at your life and say, boy, it's a wasteland. Ain't nothing happening here. Because God can cause an oasis. He can cause your desert. Somebody say amen. He can cause it to spring up. Amen. Like a artesian well of water. Amen. I was thinking about what he said about a new song. And I tell you what, that is all through scripture. And you know, very rarely do I wake up in the morning without a song on my heart. Now you have to expand your of songs. You just got the same three in your mind. You'll have one of the same three every morning. But I'll wake up and have, you know, what a day that will be when Jesus I shall see. And then the next day it may be something more modern. But God still puts a song down in your heart. Matter of fact, when Israel was in the desert, he told them in one place, he said, take your shepherd staves out and dig a hole and sing to it. I remember Bishop Sims preaching, sing to the well. And God caused a well of water to spring up right there in the middle of a desert. Because God can do what God wants to do. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? And a lot of times, and he referenced this, and I just want to piggyback on it because I've seen this in observation for many years. A lot of times when we get impatient, and you mentioned victories right around the corner, and we just kind of fold or give in. I think you said something like that. A lot of times, you know, it's when you're waiting on a bam God and it don't show up. So we go bam world. And we try to find the answer in the world. I've seen people before go, oh, I got a prophetic word. God's going to send me a husband. Well, when he don't send it in 4 weeks, they're out there going, I need to help God out. Bam world. And then you get yourself in a fix. Somebody say amen. But good preaching, Brother Harper. Thank you so much. Give the Lord a hand clap for that word. I enjoyed it. I might just join this church and just sit back there in the back. I got to sit with my wife tonight, and if I needed for some reason to grab my phone for something, I had it right. No, I didn't do that. I typed a few notes out, but God's good, isn't he? That's a nice little church here. I like this. And God is going to do a new thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, and you listen to me very carefully. When God starts doing a new thing, this is the real test to see whether or not God's got you. Can you commit to God when he inconveniences your schedule? Because I know we're going to have revival service, Sister Wilson, Sunday morning. No, you don't want to miss Sunday morning. But what if I said, we're going to continue on and go Monday night? I mean, he's going to be here. Well, Pastor, I got to work. I mean, I came Monday night. I'm cool with Sunday because you're off. But what about if it's a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Because truthfully, that's where we're headed this year. At some point, we're going to get an evangelist in here. And I don't know how we're going to run it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll figure that out. But God's going to start doing stuff that we haven't never done around here. And you know what? The true test to see whether or not he's got you in the palm of your hand is, are you going to allow him to inconvenience your schedule just a little bit? The early church, they had church every night. They met together in houses all the time. I know we don't live in that time. I understand it. But we can't be so fixated on Wednesday and Sunday. Right? Somebody say amen. Old me, something. But at any rate, God is doing a wonderful work, and I'm so excited about him and what he's doing. We're going to be here Sunday morning. I talked to Bishop J.B. Sims, of course. Some of you probably know, because we had prayed for Jason's mother. That's the bishop's wife. You know, she's battling cancer, and she's doing good. She's taking a homeopathic natural approach to it. And she went and found an herbalist, and they've got her on all kind of homeopathic stuff. But her numbers are coming down. She's doing good. Her energy's up. And at any rate, I didn't know if she was going to be able to come. She will be in service on Sunday. And so we're very excited about that. And I just believe somebody's going to touch the hem of his garment. I don't know who it's going to be. You need to make your mind up now and say it's going to be me. If anybody's going to touch it, it's going to be me. If I got to drive to the house of God and pay the price of gas and get there, I'm getting something. And it just would be wonderful if just a healing balm would just flow through this house. And it will. And it just dry the cancer up in her body. And man, wouldn't God just be glorified? He's glorified either way, but at any rate, I was glad to find out that she'll be here. So, and that'll help him too, because every man needs their wife, you know. So, all you married men, you know what I'm saying. You need your wife with you. But glad we could slip in tonight, run a little bit late, but God is good. It's great to see everybody. Thank you, Brother Brown, for opening up. Thank you, Brother Harper, for the message. I enjoyed the message. Everybody enjoy the message. Y'all think we ought to let him preach again? All right. God is good. Good job. Enjoyed it. Shake hands with somebody. If you got an offering tonight, just place it in the back. Invite somebody.